Thursday, the 5th of November, Yud Ches Ma'am Cheshvan, Rabbi Yaakov Hamer, Avon's Last Stand.
Good morning, everyone, and good thanks to Dudi and to all the organizers for inviting me back. It's always a pleasure to be here, an inspiration to see the same faces, people coming day in, day out. It's really a chizik for me to come. We know different societies have different ideas of what's considered appropriate dress, appropriate behavior. Very much depends on cultures, societies, what's the norm. I'll never forget that once when I was visiting a great aunt of mine in the south of France, she lived in Nice. And Nice is just a few minutes down the road from Monaco. So I thought, I'll go to Monaco. Had a car, it was a Bocher, and I had a friend of mine, so we decided we'll nip down to Monaco and see what Monaco is all about. And I heard that this Monaco is famed for its casinos and hotels, so I thought, let me just pop into this hotel slash casino and see what it's all about. As soon as I walked in, within a few seconds, they came over to me and they said, I'm sorry, so you need to remove your head covering. And I said, why is that? And they said, we don't allow these things, it's not considered appropriate dress in such a place.
A couple.
Right? And it wouldn't have been so bad, but my friend who was right next to me, they left him alone. He was fine, but for some reason they told me I need to remove my head covering. Some places to have a head covering is considered a sign of cover, the respect. Some places you have to take off, you have to show respect. One thing which I think is clear and is universal, that when it comes to showing reverence, when it comes to showing honor, universally we say standing up is a sign of showing kavod, of showing respect. Whether or not it's standing up for a king, or standing up for one's parents, for a sefer Torah, for a Talmud Chacham, and the like, standing up shows reverence. We have a reference to this at the beginning of the parasha. The pasuk says, Avram was sitting, past tense, Pesach Oel Kechem Hayoyim. Is present tense, but the Medrash says over here that really actually says Yoshev, which implies a past tense. Chazal say Bikesh Lamed, Avram Avinu was sitting, he was sitting, present tense. Bikesh Lamed, and Hashem appeared to him, and he wanted to stand up. Hashem said, you sit down, and I will stand. And this will be a sign, this will be a mice of a similar bonim, that in future generations, when your grandchildren will be sitting down as dayanim, they will sit and I will stand. This reference to standing and sitting. He was sitting, he wanted to stand, the Shem said, you sit, and in the future they'll sit, and I'll stand. What is the ideal that when one stands up, it's a sign of kavod, it's a sign of reverence and honor? There's another medrash over here, also in this pasuk. The medrash says, Ni'alkit Shimoni, Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu Lamalachim, Boyu Re'u Koicha Shel Mila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with, I believe it was with Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malachim, Boyu Re'u Koicha Shel Mila, Achlo Nimoil Hayanofel Al Ponav. Up until this time, when I would appear to Avram, we know, as the Rambam tells us, the Perek Zayin from Yesodei HaTorah, that when, in general, one of the differences between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of other Nevi'im is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi who was able to remain with all of his faculties, with all of his senses, to remain upright. All the other Nevi'im, says the Rambam, they would collapse to the ground, they would lose all of their senses, their physicality was totally null and void, and then, and only then, they were able to have some type of an engaging relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. Nonetheless, Hashem tells the Malachim, Boyu Re'u Koicha Shel Mila, take a look at the wonder, the strength of Mila. Achlo Nimo Hayanofel Al Ponav. Up until this time, when I would appear to Avraham Avinu, he would fall down on his face, as we saw in the Bris Ben Avasarim, it says he had a tremendous pacha, a tremendous emol. He lost his senses. And then, after the Navi would lose, after Avram would lose the senses, then I would speak to him. But now, that it's post the Milah, who Yosef? He's able to actually sit down. He's able to sit down. He doesn't fall down to the ground anymore. Look at him. Look at the strength. Look at the godless of Mila. He's actually able to sit down. And again, the reference, I'm going to stand this time. So again, the idea that it says over here, a reference to standing and sitting, specifically to Mila. Perhaps another point we can raise is that it seems to be that this concept, this idea of showing strength and the ability to sit vis-a-vis Hashem who's standing, we find it both in reference to Mila and in reference to Talmud Torah. Whether or not we said the Sefer Torah or a Talmud Chacham, a Zakein, a Zekon Chacham, someone who embodies the Torah, then we see this concept of sitting and standing. And so too over here when it comes to Mila, what exactly is the connection between Mila and Torah that we find these common themes? Another point is, it always struck me as something interesting, something fascinating, that a place of study, a place where we go to learn Torah, is referred to as a yeshiva. It's a place where you sit, right? He's sitting in the mirror, right? He's sitting, right? It's called a yeshiva. Why is that the name which we give to a place of study? We find that the Gemara also refers to this as a mesivta, the word yasiv, to sit down. Why is it that yeshiva is called yeshiva al shem sitting? Why is that noteworthy? Why is that to the ikar? And it's also interesting to note what is perhaps the best, the most appropriate manner with which a person should learn Torah. It's not sitting down. It's standing up. It's exactly the opposite. The Mishnah says in Seitah, the Mishnah says, Mishameis Rabban Gamliel hazakein bottle kveita Torah, that to a certain extent, an element of Kavod HaTorah was removed from the world. Why is this? Explains Rashi. B'Maseches Megillah Amesh Ad Shemeis Hu Hayabrius Ba'olam, until the demise of Rabban Gamliel Hazaken, there was strength, there was vitality, there was Brius in the world. V'lo Hayu L'meidim Torah Elam Umud, and they would all learn Torah standing up. From the time of the Patira of Rabban Gamliel Hazaken, people became weak and they had to start to learn Torah Miyushav. They had to learn sitting down. On the one hand, the yeshiva is called the yeshiva on the name, based on the name of sitting. Seems to be the most appropriate way of learning Torah is standing. Again, the idea of sitting and standing, what's it all about? And the last point I'd like to discuss is that other than seeing some type of a relationship between Avraham and Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the difference between sitting and standing, whether that's with the Dayanim and Hashem, the Dayanim is sitting and Hashem is standing, Avraham is sitting and Hashem is standing, we also find in these two episodes with Avraham Avinu and also with Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Kabbalah Sotero, somewhat of a showdown between an individual, a mensch, a boss of Adam, and Malachim. The Medrash also says over here, it notes the difference. At the beginning of the parasha, it says the Anashim were Nitzavim Olav, they were standing over him, the Malachim were standing over him. At the end of the parasha, when Avram does the Achnasas Archim, and he serves the Malachim, it says, V'hu Eimed Aleihem, he was standing over them. And the Medrash says that up until the time that he served them, they were over him. Once he actually served them, he was over them, and they were in fear of him. They realized his superiority, that Avram was far greater than the Malach, than the Malachim. And we find the same thing at Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim, the Gemara says in Shabbos, B'shah Shalom Moshe L'marim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be Mekabel the Torah, right, the Malachi Asharis told the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Ma'al Yilut Isha Beinenu, why is it that this flesh and blood, what's he doing Beinenu amongst us? Hashem answers, L'kam, the Torah boy is coming to receive the Torah, and so on. And Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, the Malachim have got all different types of questions, they're challenging your ability, your right to receive the Torah. Achzalam Tshuva, answer them. And it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm scared. I'm scared because of the hevel piv, right? What's going to come out of their mouth? I'll be burnt, I'll be singed by what they have to say. And Hashem says, hold on to my kisei kavod, and answer them, and he did, and he started to say, you didn't go down to Mitzrayim, you don't have parents to honor, and so on and so forth. And again, the Malachim were won over, and they realized that Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact of a superior nature, and not only Moshe Rabbeinu, but everyone who was coming to represent flesh and blood, and they even gave him gifts. So again, it's somewhat of a showdown between a human being and Malachim. It's not only do we find this somewhat of a relationship between the person and Hashem, standing and sitting, we also find, in reference to Torah and in reference to Milah, some type of a maso matan between human beings and with Malachim. So just to recap the points, the first question that we're asking is, what bechlal is the significance of standing? Why is that the universal sign of showing respect and derech eretz for a melech, for a sefer Torah, for a Talmud Chacham? There's even a discussion, Halach in Shulchan Aruch, that Shulchan Aruch says that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to stand up for a Baal Masim, for someone who does great deeds. He's not necessarily a Talmud Chacham, but he's a big Baal Tzedaka, a big Baal Chesed. There's all different types of Masim Tovim. To show covered, the Mefarshim say that when the Shulchan Aruch says he's allowed to stand up, it means it's not beneath his dignity to stand up, even though he's a great Talmud Chacham, and this fellow is not a Yodea Sefer as such, he's not a Talmud Chacham, but he's Esek B'tzachi Tzibor, and he's a big Baal Chesed, and he's a big Baal Tzedak, and so on, he's a Baal Masim Tovim. Don't think that it's Zokin V'Enel Lefi Kvodei, don't think that it's Pasnish, don't think it's beneath his dignity and honor to go ahead and stand up for him. Certain times a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to do something if it's beneath his dignity. He's allowed to stand up and show honor and respect to a Baal Masim. That is, you show respect by standing up. What's the idea of standing? What's the idea that specifically after the Milah, Hashem is telling him, you sit, and I'm going to stand, and Hashem tells the Malachim, take a look at the Godless, take a look at the strength of Milah. Up until this time, he wasn't able to stand, and now he is able to stand. Why is it that we find specifically this concept of standing and sitting specifically in reference to Milah and Torah? What's the connection between the two? What is the idea that the yeshiva is called, the mesifta, it's called a place of sitting? On the other hand, Torah is something which in theory is supposed to stand up. And finally, this showdown between Avram and the Malachim and the Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. The Gra and other Mefarshim bring a lashon of Chazal. I'm assuming this is a lashon from the Zohar HaKadosh, that it says raglayim lebar migufa. A person's legs are outside of their body, and it seems to be over there. The Gra and the others are discussing that in the koymus ha'adam, in the person's body, where we know that the Kabbalim tell us that the Esses Spheres somehow have some type of a physical embodiment or a parallel in the human body, the body ends with the legs. Raglayim lebar migufa. A person's legs are already considered outside of one's body. Al derech hapshat, the idea is that a person's legs take a person's body from place to place. You are who you are. You have a person's hands. A person can do all of their pa'ulus, but the legs are incredibly necessary because they take a person from place to place. And now my body, my seichel, my hands need to do something. I need to have a discussion with someone. I need to do something. I need to do some work. I need my legs to take me from place to place. It's not actually part of the guf. It's not actually part of the kemes ha'adam. To a certain extent, the more a person has perfected themselves, the more complete the person is, the more mushlim the person is, the less they need to go from place to place. The more they become the one who's stationary, vis-a-vis everyone else, that everyone else now starts coming to them. The more chasha the individual is, people start coming to the person. Tiferes Adam Lasheves Bayis. Once a person reaches a certain level of Tiferes, they stay at home. For them to go out and about and greet other people, that's really beneath their dignity. They stay in one place. The idea of standing, the simple idea as we all know, is that if there's an individual, or if there's a concept, or if there's a Sefer Torah, that there's a certain amount of shleimus, there's a certain amount of perfection in that individual. They worked on themselves, they've achieved a certain level of knowledge, or they represent something that when I look at them and I say myself vis-a-vis this individual, it obligates me to stand up as if to say, I am now ready, I'm muchen umzumen to go wherever you want me to go, to do whatever you want me to do, to accept the shlichus. There's a sefer Torah which is there, I stand up. When I stand up, it shows that I am muchen umzumen, I'm ready and prepared to do whatever the sefer is mechayev me to do. You know, the malachim are referred to as oimdim, the srafim oimdim, the malachim are oimdim. One idea, one basic idea is that the malachim are not able to go any higher, any lower. They don't have bechira chafshis, they can't actually move. A person is a hoilech, a person is moving constantly. Malachim are called oimdim. But the other idea is that they're oimdim because the essence of a malach is no more, no less, other than a shliach of Hashem. A malach is a shliach Hashem, so by definition they're oimdim, they're always ready and standing and waiting to do Dvar Hashem. So when my parents walk into the room, when a Zakin walks into the room, you know there's the Machlekes and the Gemara about whether or not the Amoraim would, did they actually stand up for a Zakin Ashmai? Did they stand up for a non-Jewish Zakin who walks into the room? And the Gemara says, I believe it was Rabbi Yochanan, that he would stand up for a Zakin Ashmai. And the reason why, as Rashi explains, is because he would see this individual, and he would say that this person has witnessed and experienced so much Yad Hashem, Hashkachas Hashem in the world, and they clearly have gained and have amassed a degree of knowledge and shlemus which I can benefit from. That's also a mechayev that I should stand up. If there's a Baal Masim, there's a person who's reached a level of shlemus in their chesed, in their dikduk hamitzvos and so on, I should also stand up because their very essence, their very person, their metzias obligates me to feel that now I'm ready to listen to your instruction. You are shalem, and I'm not necessarily shalem in that area. When we speak about Mila and Torah, we know that these are the perfection of one's body, and it's the perfection of one's mind. The Gemara says in the Dharma and the Aflamad Beis, first opinion says, Gedola Mila, how great is Mila, she'il mali Mila le niskaimu shemayim ba'aretz. The heavens and the earth wouldn't have any kiyam, they wouldn't be able to exist. Shneimrim le berisi yeimim malai le chemu shemayim ba'aretz le samti. Had it not been for my perpetual bris, which is bris Mila, shemayim ba'aretz le samti. The heavens and earth wouldn't have any type of existence, it wouldn't have a kiyam. Says the Gemara, Pliga de Rabbi Lazar. This seems to be different to Rabbi Lazar. The Rabbi Lazar says, Gedola Torah. The Torah is the greatest. Shel Moli Torah Linus Kaim Shemayim Baretz. And that's what it means in Le Brisi Yemen Valaila. The Torah is the perpetual bris. Vigisa Be Yemen Valaila. The Mepharshim, the Maral, and others explain that they're looking at two different facets of the human being. There is the aspect, the element of the person's body, and Mila represents a shlemus that a person is willing to be totally subordinate and subservient in their physicality to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way that that is manifest is by giving themselves a bris Mila, by branding themselves as if to say, my body is totally null and void, it's bakla mavut l'avodasi yitzbarach. And there's also the idea of being mashlim, of giving a certain element of perfection to one's seichel, and understanding what is Ratzon Hashem. And that is what Chachmas HaTorah is all about. And it's specifically in these two areas that we find perfection, where a person can reach a certain level of shlemus. With Avram, he reached the level of perfection in the area of Mila. With Moshe Beino, he was the one, he was the greatest Navi, he was Teres Moshe, he was the one who reached the level of perfection when it came to his Seichel. When the Malachim came, and they saw Avram, and it was Yom Shlishi L'Milase. They saw an individual there, who was on the third day after his Bris Milo, who was using every bit of his energy, every ounce of strength which he had, in order to use his body for Ratzon Hashem. The Medrash says that, actually, Yotzi Yideihem Nitzavim Alav, up until the time, the Mepharshim explained, up until the time that he actually went, like Chazal tell us, the Gemara Bar Metzia, that Avraham Avinu tried himself to do whatever he could to go and shecht himself, and or to tell his son certain things he did himself. He tried. He was rotz. He used all of his strength to go and serve the Malachim in the best possible way. Up until that time, Nitzav Malav, they still thought they have something over him. They are perfect in their way, in their seichel. Even Shiyotzi Yadehem, but once they saw, once he demonstrated that the effect that Bris Mila has had over his body is to reach and achieve such a level of perfection that his body is now totally in tune to Avodas Hashem. Hu Eimed Aleihem. Emosei Mutelas Aleihem, Michal Mirtas, Gavriel Mirtas, to the extent that it says that the Malachim with Sitzring, they were so petrified, they felt so inferior vis-a-vis Avram Avinu. That was what happened with the showdown between Avram and the Malachim. The same thing when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Malachim said, "Mal yulud isha beinenu." Chaim Vital says that the question was, "Mal yulud isha beinenu," that a yulud isha, that a flesh and blood should be on par with us. We are clearly much superior to flesh and blood. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact very intimidated. Shama behevel piv, I'm going to be nisrach, I'm going to be singed and burned through the hevel piv of the malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something very simple to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, Echoiz v'kisei v'achse lehem tshuva. Hold on to my kisei kavod and answer them. Chaim Vital says a wonderful idea. He says it wasn't Chalila, a security blanket of sorts. Hold on to my kisei HaKavod, and that will give you courage. He said, actually holding on to the kisei HaKavod was the answer. You hold on to my kisei HaKavod by you having an achiza, by you having a grip in that, you are in essence showing and demonstrating and illustrating very clearly to the malachim that you, a yid, you have an achiza, you are nechaz, you are mushrish, you are rooted in the kisei HaKavod, in an area, in a place, in worlds which are infinitely higher, qualitatively much, much higher than the world of the malachim, and therefore you have the ability, and there is much more befitting, it's much more tzugapast for flesh and blood, for klal yourself to receive than them. Echoiz b'kisei v'achzlam tshuva, that is the teretz, that is the answer. The Malachim realized that, and as soon as that happened, and they realized that the human being, through his bechira, through his own seichel, he has the ability to perfect himself and perfect his seichel, they felt inferior to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they gave him matanis and so on. In both of these areas, in the area of Mila and the area of Torah, these are two places where we see this concept manifest. And that's perhaps the idea over here, when it comes to the perfection that Avraham Avinu showed, a certain perfection in his guf, in his mila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now henceforth, you have achieved a perfection to the extent that you will be the one sitting, and I will be the one, kaviyachal, so to speak, who's going to stand vis-a-vis you. Meaning you will have a certain ability to direct and to show in Hagar the direction of the world. As is clearly illustrated in the Hemshech of the Parsha, Avraham Avinu, Hashem was going to destroy Sodom. And before destroying Sodom, he says, "Hamachasanim Avram, should I conceal from Avram that which I intend to do?" Meaning to say that henceforth, had Hashem actually destroyed Sodom without consulting, engaging with Avram, speaking to Avram, that would have been considered that he was concealing something, because Avram now has displayed a tremendous shlemus in the area of his guf, and now his guf was totally in tune to be a spiritual individual. Now Avram Avinu has the ability to be manic, to direct. And Hashem tells Avram, this will be a siman lebanecha, this will be a siman for your children, that in future generations, when they'll actually have the Torah, they will have Teres Hashem, and ultimately all of the Anhaga, all of the direction, as the Nefesh HaChaim writes in length, everything in the world, it comes about through the Leim Ne'at Torah. The Anhaga in the world comes about, the strength comes about through the Torah. Torah is Oiz, and the Oiz was given Hashem Oiz La'ama Yitah. Now that the Torah is given to us, all the direction comes to us. Hashem says, V'hatasim l'banecha, this will be a sign, this will be a small sign to your children, that in future generations, when there's Dayanim, when there's Anoshim, when there's Talmidei Chachamim, we're going to paskin something, they're going to paskin a din Torah, the way that this scene will look like will be that they actually sit down, as we know that Dayanim, they're the ones who have to sit, then I will be the one standing up. I will be standing up, so to speak. I will be like the Shliach Bezdin. I will be the one who is muchen umuzum, who is prepared to go and be mevatzeya and act out, carry out the psak din. As we know, this has got, you know, staggering implications. Even if the Beis Din can make a mistake, they can make a toast, but if the Beis Din shall matter, if this is how they paskin, Hashem is kofef to it. Hashem, so to speak, is subordinate to the psak, and it's chuni bonai, that if this is the way that my children understand the Torah, this is the way that they're going to paskin, that it's tameh. Really, in Shemaim, it's tar. It's going to be tameh, because this is the psak. They will sit, and I will stand. When it comes to the concept of yeshiva, though perhaps the idea is that the reason why it's referred to as a masifta, it's called a yeshiva, is because in reference to the entire world, this is a place where we are the yoshvim. We are the place when we come to a Beis HaMedrash and we come to learn, we are in fact very strong. We have the koyach, we have the oiz, we have the power to direct the world. It's called a yeshiva, it's called a masifta. The reason why in the pre-Rabban Gamliel Hazakin era they used to learn Torah Ba'amida is because when I'm actually trying to be koilet, to understand the information, to absorb the Dvar Hashem, so clearly the most appropriate, befitting manner with which I should do so is that I have to be the one standing, and because there's a Torah, the Torah is Mechayev me, the Torah is that which is complete, which is perfect, which is Shalom, and I'm the one who's lacking. So the way that I absorb and I understand a lot of the knowledge is that I stand up, but to clap in the entire world, it's a sifta, it's a yeshiva, it's a place where we're the ones sitting down and the rest of the world, so to speak, is standing up. I was thinking perhaps just in 2 minutes, just to say perhaps slightly different thoughts, slightly different idea, not just that Mila represents the tikkun, the shleimus, the godless of a person's guf, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Torah, that's the Seichel, and that's why in both of these places you find the concept of yeshiva vis-a-vis the Omed. Maybe there might also be another idea over here. And then ultimately, everything is directed back towards the Torah. It's not that there's two separate ideas, and one is the Guf, and one is the Seichel. We do find, specifically in reference to Avram, many, many allusions, many remazim, many concepts which seem to illustrate that there was a concept of Torah in reference to Avram. And that Mila, as we know, is something which facilitates Talmud Torah. We know the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that the reason why Unklus Hager, he wanted to convert, is because he said, it's so long as I don't have Bris Mila, as I'm not Gemalt, it's impossible for me to absorb the Torah. The Mila is something which really just facilitates, it's a machshu for Kabbalah's Torah, it's something which enables a person to understand Torah. The Pesach Tshuva in Yerdei and Reish Mem Hei, he brings Tshuvas Reb Kiveger and Simon Mem Beis, that Reb Kiveger is discussing the question, what to do in a situation where, Le'aleinu, there's no father present at the time that the Bris, the father, has died, who should be the one to make the Bracha L'achnisi B'risi Shel Avram Avinu? And the case over there was, there was the Moel, who happens to be the grandfather, and there was the Sandik. And there's different days, different opinions. Kideger says that it's clear that the grandfather has first dibs, first rights on this bracha v'lachnisei. And he goes on a little bit, he's yotze chutz v'gidre a little bit, not so much you find in Reb Kiveger. He brings Eilis Ephraim, and he brings Alderch Drush. He says that we know a paternal grandfather has an obligation to teach his grandson Torah. The Gemara Kedushin with Zvulun Ben Dom. He has an obligation to teach him Torah. And being that, as we know, Mila is just a machshut, something which facilitates klitas kabbalas haTorah, the absorption, the understanding of Torah, the paternal grandfather who has this responsibility, it's incumbent upon him to ensure that his grandson has a Torah education. The place can say even to the extent of actually paying the bills of school fees to make sure that his son gets a Torah education, right? So he clearly has the one. He's the one who has the first right to make the bracha l'achnisa b'risa shel Avraham Avinu, because that's what Mila is. Just like Torah opens up a world, Mila is Vasem is me, Yal Elanu Hashemayim, who can go up to the Shemayim? Torah and Mila is one and the same. I once heard from a Rebbe of mine also that, you know, we know that the whole concept of the 2,000 years of Torah, the Gemara says 2,000 years of Tayu, 2,000 years of Torah, 2,000 years was Chazru L'Tayu. When did the 2,000 years, when was the Alpayim Shnos Torah, when did it start? It started with Avraham Avinu. It started with that when Avraham Avinu started to be Melamed Torah. And Nefesh HaShe'asu B'charan. Once he started to be Melamed Torah, that is when the 2,000 years of Torah started. The Gemara says, it's just a diak, a cute diak in a Rashi in Yuma. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. He did absolutely all the Tayag Mitzvahs, the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, who says he did everything? Who says he did everything? Maybe he only did the Amish Sheva Mitzvahs. Maybe he only did Sheva Mitzvahs, says Rashi. Maybe he only did Sheva Mitzvahs. Where's the Rashi? Maybe he did Sheva Mitzvahs on my sheet. Should it stavu l'shar kol b'nei Noach? Maybe he only did the Sheva Mitzvahs, which the other b'nei Noach were in itstavu. Avul Torah loy nitna loy. But Torah wasn't given to him. Says the Gemara, kamash malon, and it brings other psukim. Meaning that the half meter was maybe Torah wasn't given to him. Kamashmon, it was given to him. And I know it's late, but just in 1 minute, literally, the reason why it's nice to understand that there was a real concept of Torah given to Avram is because the famous question which the Mefarshim ask, Ein lemeidin mikoidem matan Torah. You're not allowed to learn any halachic reality before matan Torah. And the Mefarshim ask, there's loads of things which we learn before matan Torah. The standard way out of this is that most of the things which we learn is just giving us an idea and understanding of what the concept is. Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. When you're involved in one simcha, don't be involved in another simcha. We learn that from before Matan Torah. But it's just telling us, what is simcha? Simcha is when you're focused on one simcha, not something else. The Gemara says that we learn the concept that shechita is betolish. When you shecht an animal, the chalav, the knife, has to be tolish. You can't use something which is attached to the ground. And that's learned from Vayikach HaSemachelis. It's learned from Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu by the Akedah, it says Vayikach HaSemachelis. That means b'di'evit. If someone shechts an animal, whether it's kachim or chulin, the shechita is possible b'di'evit. Ein lemeidin milifnei matan Torah. Terence says, when it came to Avram, Torah was nitna lo. The Alpayim Shnos Torah, Mila, it's all a machshava for Torah to a certain extent. Torah was given to Avram, and therefore perhaps the idea showing the strength of the Lame Day Torah, that they have this concept, this aspect, this bechina of a Yoshev, l'umas the rest of the world that they're under.